labor problems in Hollywood and Detroit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Two big worker disputes to tell you about this morning. We'll start with the Hollywood writers. Their contract expired at midnight, and they're considering a strike. Writers Guild President Patrick Verone says writers want a better cut of DVD sales and a small percentage of movie and TV download revenue.
We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars over a long period of time, and within a business that makes hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
But the studios aren't ready to hand over internet revenue until they figure out how much money downloads can make.
Our position is, until we know what the compensation models are, we're not going to add additional burden to our deficits that we have on regular TV and movies themselves.
There are no talks scheduled at the moment in Hollywood. In Detroit, auto workers are still negotiating. They've gotten deals from GM and Chrysler, but Ford is holding out. More now from Jill Barchet.
Sometimes it's best to save the worst for last. Brett Hoselton is an auto analyst at KeyBank Capital Markets. He says the United Auto Workers always knew Ford would drive the hardest deal. It didn't want to set a precedent for its other contracts.
The Ford agreement is going to be much more challenging. Ford is going to want to extract more from the UAW, more cost cuts and so forth from the UAW, but is going to be willing to give up less.
Hoselton says 5 years ago, Ford used to sell a quarter of the cars in the U.S. Today, its market share is less than 16%.
Ford's new business plan is to sell fewer cars. However, they're going to sell those fewer cars at a greater profit. So they're going to downsize their organization. Obviously, you're going to have to cut more heads.
Ford wants to close 16 factories and lay off as many as 10,000 more workers. Hoselton says talks will probably go on for another week. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
So investors got what they wanted, a quarter point cut in interest rates from the Federal Reserve. But the Fed also suggested that might be it for a while. By the way, commercial banks responded to the rate cut by lowering their prime lending rate for certain credit cards and home equity lines. In Asia today, stocks set records, adding almost 1%. European shares started out higher, but they've retreated thanks to some sour bank profits. Yesterday, the Dow gained 138 points to 13,930. The NASDAQ was up 42, and the S&P 500 added 18 points. With all the hype this week, you'd think the Super Bowl was this Sunday. The undefeated New England Patriots play the undefeated Indianapolis Colts. But the NFL is still planning to play Super Bowl 42 in February. And the TV spots are almost all sold out. Advertisers are buying really early this year. They're focusing on big TV events since people are TiVoing out commercials on a regular basis. A 30-second Super Bowl ad this year will be going for $2.7 million. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, November 1st on Marketplace.org. The mother of all tax reform bills may be off the table for now, but its daughter is due to be born this morning. Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel is unveiling a one-year patch for the Alternative Minimum Tax, or AMT. He says it would save millions of Americans from a tax hike next year. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
In the past, when Congress has put the cork in the AMT bottle, they've simply added to the deficit. But when Democrats came to power last year, they made a promise to pay as they go. So the question on Capitol Hill is, will the AMT patch keep the Dems from keeping the pay-go promise?
It's more likely that they will end up waiving pay-go and work out something with the president that he's willing to sign.
Ken Keyes is a lobbyist with the Federal Policy Group. He says the Senate is unlikely to accept some of the tax increases Rangel probably has in mind to offset the cuts. But Aviva Arendine with the Center on Budget Policy and Priorities says, pay-go or not, an AMT patch is almost certain.
It's extremely unlikely that the AMT would simply be allowed to grow this year. That should not be a concern that's keeping taxpayers up at night.
Without a fix soon, Rangel says 23 million taxpayers would face increases next year. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A new era for European investors dawns today, or at least that's the hope of the European Union. New rules go into effect designed to make it easier to buy shares across Europe. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The change could be momentous. The new measure is designed to create one single European market for share trading. Investors anywhere in Europe should be able to pick up the phone and buy shares direct from banks and brokers in other EU countries, bypassing the big national stock exchanges. The aim is to cut dealing costs and to promote more cross-border investing. But, says Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank, it could be bad news for the big exchanges in London, Frankfurt and Paris.
Well, it could undermine all established exchanges by permitting individual investment banks or anybody else to set up alternatives outside the main national exchanges.
But nothing is certain about the effect of the new measure. Half a dozen EU member states are still dragging their feet over compliance. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
All is not well in the Middle Kingdom's Magic Kingdom. Labour activists are picketing Hong Kong Disneyland. They want to draw attention to mainland workers who make the toys that will stock Disney stores this season. Bill Marcus reports from Shanghai.
The activists are targeting a Disney supplier, the Tianyu Toy Factory in southern China. Workers make 47.5 cents an hour and work 16-hour days, but they wait 45 days to get a paycheck. This keeps them on the job so they can stuff enough toys for Christmas. Factory bosses claim they're within the law. Disney says nothing. Trade union activist Stephanie Wong says that's the problem.
For Disney, they never come out to have a direct discussion with the labor groups about their findings. They rather to take a cut-and-run approach.
Wong says while these workers are making less than the minimum wage, the government doesn't enforce it because they don't want to scare away investment. But there's good news. Consumer campaigns are working. China media is paying attention. And younger workers are refusing to eat suffering. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Oil is trading at $96 a barrel this morning. It got me wondering what's happening to the price of ethanol, the corn-based biofuel. The government is forcing refineries to mix ethanol with their gasoline to reduce our dependence on oil. It's a controversial policy for a number of reasons. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. Chris, first of all, what is happening with the price of ethanol?
Well, the price of ethanol has been climbing. It's around $1.79, $1.80 a gallon. And just to put that in context, ethanol is trading about 54 cents below gasoline. So when distributors mix gasoline and ethanol, they're going to make a profit of around a little over a buck a gallon, increasing incentive for distributors to do a little blending, a little mixing in order to fatten their profit margins.
Well, there is a government mandate. That's one incentive.
That's a big incentive.
But I would imagine that now that the price of oil has gotten to where it is, that there's a price incentive as well.
Well, there is a price incentive, and there's no doubt about that. And by the way, none of this changes the fact that our ethanol policy is, simply put, nuts.
All right, let's hear it. Why is our ethanol policy a bad idea?
Oh, there's so many reasons. First of all, you know, let's just use a cliche. But, you know, sometimes cliches, there's a little bit of truth in them. The government should not be picking winners. We have the price of oil getting close to $100 a barrel. It's an enormous incentive for technology mavens in Silicon Valley, for all kinds of people around the world to come up with alternative energy, alternative fuels. But what is the government doing? It's saying, hey, we think corn-based ethanol is the way to go. So what we're going to do is give a $7 to $8 billion subsidy a year. And by the way, now there is this cheap ethanol. Now it's from Brazil. Okay, so we're going to put high tariffs up and prevent Brazil and other foreign producers from competing with our farmers and producers.
All right, that's a fair argument. I can buy your argument here. But just to play devil's advocate, ethanol seems to be a viable alternative. So why can't we do this for the time being until we come up with something better?
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, right now, the fact that we have ethanol and we can blend it into gasoline does give us a little bit of relief on the price front. There's absolutely no question. But it's a fairly expensive relief on the price front if you start adding in the subsidies. That's why we're seeing higher prices of food. Food probably will grow in real terms in the United States this year by about 5%, which actually is a pretty big increase for food prices in the United States. And a major impetus behind that is corn and ethanol.
Yeah, that's a true catch-22 right there.
Exactly.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
If you'd like to add your two cents, you're welcome to. Join us on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.